G'day there folks, Paul here, signing back in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come back and join with me as we continue on our snapshots in the book of Luke. Well, we're going to wrap up Luke chapter 2 today from verse 39. As always, please, if you're not familiar with this, take a moment, pause, have a read Luke chapter 2 verses 39 through to the end of the chapter, verse 52, I think it is, and then we'll come back. We'll have a look at some notes. Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. So picking up verse 39, then when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, that was the previous video, bringing Jesus to the temple, the time of purification and so on, they returned to Galilee to their own city, which was Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, before we continue, I need to pause. And yes, that is the whole point of these snapshots, to pause, to give context, to help you understand just that little bit more. Luke's story here, it speaks of them returning to Nazareth, but it doesn't take into account, because somewhere we see in here the events that are recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. So in chapter 2, we've got the story of the wise men, we've got Herod and the king. We've got the massacre of all of the children, the babies from 2 years old and under, and we've got Joseph, Mary and Jesus then escaping into Egypt. That's not in here in Luke, that's in Matthew chapter 2. And I think, and I love, that we have the four different Gospels because we see that larger, greater, bigger picture in there. Is everything recorded in here? No, even John says that not everything is in these books. But when we bring them together, and there's this thing, you can Google it, called the harmony of the Gospels, where we see the events in, I think they are in chronological order, and we can see what is where and how that all fits together. So I would like to ask that you do take a moment to read Matthew chapter 2 when we're finished here, and that will also broaden your context. That we know, but there are some things that we don't know. We don't know how old Jesus was when they returned from Egypt. We don't know how long that they were there. But we will pick it up in verse 41 where the parents, the family, are now back in Nazareth. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, take note of that, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And the pause. I just want to press that pause button one moment. Passover being one of the three great festivals, the three great feasts are commanded by the Lord. Deuteronomy 16, he commands his people to return to Jerusalem. In this case, it's for 8 days. And Passover was a constant reminder for the children of Israel of that great and beautiful work which God did to save the children of Israel on the last day in Egypt. I'm sure you know the story. If not, you can find it easily. And on that final day in Egypt, that 10th plague, where that the blood of the lamb was placed over the lintel, over the doorpost of the door, and then the angel of death, so to speak, passed over all of those houses, sparing those inside. Passover is that time, so important for the Jewish nation. And we see it so often in Scripture. It's also that time where we will see as we continue on. It's that time where we see Christ on the cross at Calvary, him then becoming for us our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a good read. And through his sacrifice, this is why I'm sharing these things, that you would see how they connect together in the beautiful, beautiful work of God. Through his sacrifice, death passes over us, if I can say it that way, as we are born again. And we move from the mortality of this body into new life in the Spirit. Have you ever wondered, when does that eternal life begin? Is it just when we pass on, when this body dies? No. No, friend, it is not. It's when you are born again. That's when your new life begins. And yes, as long as we're in this body, we need to learn to walk in it. But Christ becomes for us that Passover lamb. Verse Verse 43, when they'd finished the days, this is Passover, all returned. The boy Jesus, however, lingered behind in Jerusalem. Oh, he's a boy. And Joseph and his mother, they did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him amongst their relatives and their acquaintances, and they can't find him. Let me give some clarity and some context here. How does this happen? Well, I've lost a child before in the supermarket. Where are you? I know what it's like, and that was just a small area. But it is worthwhile to understand that often families or kinsmen or communities, they would travel together in a group to these festivals. There could be 100 people or more in a caravan. And the command from God required men of age to travel. That's age 13 and up. But often the families would come too, though they're not required, especially certainly though for Passover. And for boys of Jesus' age, they would come, though he's not yet 13, they would come and they would sit amongst the men and they would listen and they would learn. And this is preparing them for, as they were soon to become, you know, men and enter into that age of accountability under the law. Now, in this particular case, Mary, the other ladies and maybe some of the older folk, they would leave early. I'm just, amusing here a moment. They would leave a bit earlier and the men who can walk faster would catch up. And, you know, each of them are thinking, well, Jesus is with mum or Jesus with his dad and so on. Not so. And as it says, they were a day's journey out and they're looking amongst all of the relatives and acquaintances trying to find him. He's not here. So, verse 45, when they did not find them, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. So they go back looking for him immediately. And as it was, then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I can't imagine the panic of that. 3 days. Maybe you can. I hope I'll never have to imagine that. 3 or more days looking for him. Now, I need you to understand just how big and how many people. Imagine a football field, if you would, with, 50,000 people in a stadium. 50,000 people. So here you have Jerusalem, the size of 250 different football fields, and hundreds of thousands of people looking through the markets, looking through the houses, looking through everyone we know, looking here, looking there, looking down the alleyways, looking all over. And then they find him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, doing what a boy of that age should, listening to them. I like this though, but also asking them questions. Verse 47, and all who heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, Mary and Joseph, whomever found him, they were amazed. His mother said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously, as you would." And he said to them, "Why? Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he had spoken to them. And so here we see a glimpse into the work of the Holy Spirit in the young Jesus' life, listening and asking questions. And I like this. It says, I must be about my father's business. These are actually the first recorded words of Jesus. And really, they are to be an example for us also. I must be about my father's business. This is to be for us too. It has to go beyond, I should be doing that. I know I ought to be. No, I must be. And there comes a time in our Christian walk as we grow in faith through our study. And in my personal study, I found that also similar thing in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 20. He has this rant. He goes off, "I don't want to do this anymore. But I cannot not speak of you, Lord." And so it must be for us also as we grow in faith and grow in the Spirit that we must be about our Father's business. This is my prayer for you. I've got to say this just quickly. This doesn't come by your own effort. This desire to serve your Lord, your God, it comes from Him. So I pray that you would pray and ask Him of it. Verse 51, wrapping up. So then he, Jesus, went down with them. They came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all of these things in her heart. She's marveling. She's going, what kind of man will this boy be? The Messiah. And Jesus, verse 52, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Note, though, that it says here that he was subject to them. He submitted to them. He obeyed them as was right, as was proper. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Oh, we should only pray and hope the same for us, yeah? Amen. Talk soon.